So I was walking down the street at night, and I saw this guy down on his hands and knees looking for something. So I went over to say, "No, what are you looking for?" He says, "I lost my keys." I said, "Well, would you like some help?" He says, "Yeah." I said, "Well, what do they look like?" So he described the keys to me, and I got down. I was looking for them too. And after a couple minutes, I said, "Are you sure you lost them here?" He says, "Oh, no, I lost them over there, but it's dark over there, and there's light over here." Ever had an experience like that, looking for something in the wrong place? And many times we've had losses in life, and we've been trying to get it back, trying to get back to some experience that we had before, rather than moving on to something greater, something more in our lives. And it's important for us to recognize that, you know, one of the things we say in Unity, there's nothing lost in spirit, and to recognize that there's a truth about who and what we are that never can be lost. We might not be aware of it, but it doesn't mean it's not there. The presence is always there. And the lesson began with a memory that I had of an experience years ago. Before I was a minister, Meredith and I were living in Houston. We'd been coming to Unity for about a year or so. And some people that I knew had asked me to put a band together for a wedding reception. So I got some guys together, you know, to play, and we played the wedding reception. At the end, the family gave me a check that was supposed to cover all the musicians, and I was going to write checks to each of them. So I put the check in my pocket and gathered all my stuff. And later when I got home, I was looking for the check. And looking for the check. And I looked at my instrument cases, looked in the car, looked in all my pockets. I couldn't find the check. So I'm thinking, not only am I out money, but I owe these other guys money too. What am I going to do? And so I started to get frustrated with myself, started to get angry, and started to fume a little bit and was complaining out loud. And Meredith said, "Well, why don't you use some of that Unity stuff?" So I said, "Okay, Unity stuff, what's that?" Okay, so there's one presence, there's one power. My good is always with me. There's only one mind. My mind is a part of God's mind. So I began to think about those things, and I began to calm down. I began to relax, but I still didn't have a check. But I was able to go to sleep. And that night, while I was sleeping, I had three separate dreams, each one showing me where the check was. So I got up in the morning, went back to the place where the wedding reception was, and went in where we had set up to play, and the stage that there were curtains all the way around the stage, and there was, on one side behind a curtain, was the light switch for the stage lights, and that's where the dream showed me it was. And I went over there, pulled the curtain back, and there on the floor was the check. It was there. And I had been all upset, and it was there all along. And see, and you know, when I remember that story, it just reminds me how easy it is to get caught up in a sense of lack, to be lost in a sense of lack. And we get lost in a sense of limitation. We get lost in our anger. We get lost in our resentment towards ourselves and others. We get lost in all these different things and forget. Forget who we are. We forget who we are as a part of God. We forget that God is with us in every moment. And so we want to recognize that just in, like in the song Amazing Grace, where John Newton wrote, "I once was lost, but now I'm found," that we come back to ourselves, like the story of the prodigal son. It says he came to himself. We come back to that remembrance, come back to that awareness that we are a part of God. Remember the last line in our prayer for protection. You know, light of God surrounds us, love of God enfolds us, power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is. Wherever we are, God is. You know, wherever you are in life, that presence of God is there. And so for us to remember that and to draw on that, the scripture that we have today is a parable that Jesus tells. And his parables are all about consciousness. Now the story is, he says, "Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins, loses one of them, does not," means he does, she does, "light the lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it." So in the story, he's saying, here's this woman, she's got 10 coins, she loses one of them. What's the first thing she does? Light the lamp, bring some understanding, bring some remembrance, some illumination to her consciousness. And then she sweeps what needs to get moved out of the way so that we can find what it is that's already there. And so that's the pattern that we have, that Jesus gives to us, of recognizing that whenever we're feeling lost, and not just because we didn't follow directions in an outer way towards some destination, but when we feel lost in life, that as we bring that light of God to our awareness, to our remembrance, and see what it is that has to be moved out of the way, we'll find the blessing is already here. That's the gift for us of this experience of lost and found. So as I was working on this lesson, I thought, well, I wonder what the instructions are for when you're lost in the wilderness. And they have an acronym. I'm not making this up. The acronym is STOP. And what it stands for is sit, think, observe, and plan. So sit, stop. One of the challenges that people have, that rescuers have when they're looking for somebody lost in the wilderness, is that they'll look in one area for them, and then they'll go look in another area. In the meantime, they've moved from where they were to the area that they already looked in, and they don't go back to look for them again because they already checked that area. So the first thing they say is stay where you are. That's where the phrase hug a tree originally came from. Hug a tree, stay where you are. Don't go wandering off. Don't get all excited and panicky. Stay where you are. The next step is an inward step. Think. To think about, you know, what were you doing? What time is it? You know, where are you? You know, what plans have you made? What equipment do you have? You know, just what inner resources do you have? And then observe, what are the outer resources you have? What time of day it is? You know, what did you bring with you? And then plan. If it's nighttime, and you've got something to start a fire, collect stuff to start a fire, and make a signal fire that'll also keep you warm. Make some shelter for yourself. You know, so that pattern, sit, think, observe, plan, is what we can use for ourselves when we feel lost in life as well. Sit, stop. Remember in American Sign Language, the sign for God is this. You know, be, stop, stop, be present to that presence of God that's a part of you. And then think about what the resources of spirit are that you already have, and observe where you are, and then plan how you can apply what you already know, the gifts that God has given you in your life right where you are. So as I was thinking of this, the affirmations that came to me were this. First of all, God is always revealing what I need to know. Let's say that together. God is always revealing what I need to know. Now, I mentioned a couple weeks ago in one of our prosperity sessions, one of the attendees said, well, you know, affirmations don't work. And I said, you're right, they don't work. Because they're just words. You have to work them. You have to build them into consciousness. When you let this idea, God is always revealing what I need to know, be what you come back to again and again and again, rather than saying, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Saying, no, with God, I always know. God is revealing what I need to know. And as we remind ourselves of that truth, then it becomes more apparent to us. The words aren't magic. It's the work of consciousness that connects us with them. Here's another phrase we can work with as well. Nothing is lost in spirit. I am one with my good. Let's say that together. Nothing is lost in spirit. I am one with my good. And again, nothing is lost in spirit. I am one with my good. So these are some of the things that we can remember when we have those moments, those experiences of feeling lost. And as I was thinking of this, some questions came to mind to sort of help think about that, the think part of the stop. You know, sit, stop, or sit, think, observe, plan. That think part and to move into the planning part later. So the first couple questions are this. First of all, what have you lost? As you look at your life, what have you lost? What are the things that haven't worked? And then, is there something that you need to lose? Is there something that you need to release? So many times in life, we're caught up with, you know, what didn't happen, the lost opportunity, the lost relationships, you know, those things that we didn't get, you know, the things that didn't work out. May look back, you know, as if it was this magical time, this wonderful time. Oh, I wish I could go back to that. I've lost that. And the truth is, it wasn't that wonderful. It wasn't that great. You're just remembering the parts of it that were great. But let it go. Let it go, and to look at what else there is in your life that you need to release, that you need to let go. You know, so many times people look back, you know, on the historic times of life and say, oh, that would have been a great time to be alive. I think back, you know, I used to think it'd be great to have been a cowboy in the Old West, until I think about outhouses. And then it's like, No. And it was interesting, the major cause of death at that time was spider bites in outhouses. We don't have to worry about that. You know, we live in a different time. We live in a time where there's so many amazing things that are happening, so many opportunities that we have, so many connections that can be made around the world instantaneously. It's an exciting time to be alive. And so we don't need to wish that it was something this, but find the gifts that are right here. And so is there something that we've lost? Probably. But I like what Jesus in Matthew 16, he says, don't be like the person who's gained the world but lost himself. And how many times do we get so busy with the busyness of life, got to be somewhere, got to do something, got to get this done, all these things, that we don't take time for our own physical health, our mental health, our spiritual health, and we don't take time with the people around us who we care about, who are important to us. And so making sure that we don't lose the things that are really of value and to let go of those things that we don't need so much in our life. One of the things that happens is that we get caught up in the fear of not having enough. I was thinking of this word fear. Sometimes people say it's false evidence appearing real, but I came up with this, forgetting the eternal address relapse. It's like we forget that where I am, that's where God is. Wherever I am, that's where God is. And I relapse into this idea of limitation. I relapse into this idea that I'm separate. I relapse into this idea that it's not working. That's all that fear is. When we remember that we're connected, then that fear has no place to work in us. And so our work here is to look at what is it that we need to release? What is it that we need to release? Bless and release those things. Yes, that relationship may have been wonderful, but it's not there now. Let it go. Make space for something new. Make space for something greater in your life. Yes, that job may have been wonderful, although as you hear me say all the time when somebody comes to me and says, well, I just got fired, I say, good. And they go, what do you mean good? I said, well, you didn't like that job. How do you know? I said, well, you got fired. If you would have loved that job, they wouldn't have fired you. You know, so bless it and release it and find something that's going to be satisfying and exciting and creative for you. Isn't that what you want? And so you may be in the midst of a situation and it's like, let go. And it's not so much even about letting go of the outer thing as letting go of the way that you're seeing it. And know that there's greater possibilities right there in the midst of it. And to recognize that sometimes in what appears to be a loss may really be a gain. I remember years ago, one of my first backpacking trips, I was with my sister and her family. And my brother-in-law had planned this route that we were going to go on, this big 7-day circle around this mountain. And on the third day, we were off and on this trail. And as we'd started out in the morning and we'd gone about an hour or so, and he looked at his map, he says, we're on the wrong place. And we go, we don't care, this is beautiful. We're happy to be here. And so then we retraced our steps and got back on the trip. But it's like, it wasn't a big deal that we were lost. It wasn't a big deal that we took an extra hour out of the way because we saw some beautiful, wonderful things. Our souls were filled with that beauty. And so it's recognized sometimes those detours are exactly what we need. And so don't get caught up. Release the sense of frustration or anger and just, because God's right there. And if God's there, what more do you need? That wisdom, that life, that intelligence, that joy is right there for you. Access it and move on. So this is the question about what have we lost and what do you need to lose. So then let's talk about the found part of this. So what is the truth that you already have found? What's the truth that you already know? And to recognize that that truth will help illumine you in those moments when you're feeling lost. So when you have that sense that you're lost in a financial situation that you don't know how to get out of, what's the truth that you know? Go back to that and practice that in your mind, that God is the source of my supply. Well, how can I understand that? How can I experience that? How can I work with that? How can I be open to what's supposed to be here already that I don't see yet? You know, but as you work with that and ask and open, you'll find ideas coming forth. You'll find resources showing up in your life. Because you're focusing not on what's missing, you're focusing on that presence and power of God. And so we want to think of this in terms of illumination. What's the light? Remember in the story of the parable, you know, she lost her coin. The first thing she did was turn on the light. What's the light that you can bring to your situation? It may not seem like it's enough light right now, but start with that light. Your eyes will adjust, and you'll be able to see more. So trust what you already know from Spirit. Trust what you've already been given. trust that wisdom, that peace, that joy that are already part of what you've experienced in the presence of God. And part of this, too, is then sorting out what isn't helpful. You know, what isn't the truth? That there's something wrong with you, that you're never going to make it, you know, that you know, the life is tough. You know, just sort that stuff out and come back to the truth of what you know in your life. So here's another way of languaging this. I am present in God. God is present in me. Let's say that together. I am present in God. God is present in me. I remember the first time I heard this statement. It just zinged my mind. I just go, wow, what an amazing idea that in that infinite, eternal presence of God, I'm in that. I'm in the middle of that. And it's in me. It's like, what? How wonderful is that? I am present in God. God is present in me. And so when we, again, filter that into our thoughts, into our consciousness, into our feelings, and we begin to live as an expression of that, then again, we find all these connections. We find all these blessings that are already there in our life. So what's the truth that you already have? Spend some time exploring that. And then the next one is, what's the truth that you still need to find? Because again, whatever we've learned so far, God has more. If God is infinite, God has a whole lot more for us. And as we keep opening ourselves, keep being present to that presence, we'll find more and more of those blessings coming forth into our lives. There was a hunter who had been lost in the woods, and he was stumbling through the woods. He hadn't learned that thing about sitting still. He was stumbling through the woods, you know, and he burst through the thicket, and here's this guy sitting around a campfire, and he says, "Oh, I'm so grateful I found you. I've been lost for 3 days." And the guy at the campfire says, "Don't get too excited. I've been lost for 3 weeks." So the outer answers aren't always the best. But we can ask for more truth, ask for that understanding to work in our life. Here's the way that Helen Keller put it. Security is mostly a superstition. It does not exist in nature, nor do the children of men as a whole experience it. Avoiding danger is no safer in the long run than outright exposure. Life is either a daring adventure or nothing. I remember when I read that, I says, well, that's easy for a blind woman to say. And then I just thought, well, that was dumb. A daring adventure. Can we see it that way? That our exploration of that presence and power of God is a daring adventure for us to live out of the opportunity that's available to us moment by moment by moment. Because wherever we are, that's where God is. And it's there for us to find and unfold and to discover. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. It's available. We don't have to wait for it. It's right where we are, right where we are. And if we felt disconnected, it's time to be connected and say, okay, what's the truth I need to know? Let's go back to this. What's the truth that we need to find? What's that truth that we need to find in life? There's a story that shows up both in Matthew and Mark. And leading up to it, it's one of those times where, you know, the Pharisees have been giving Jesus and the disciples a hard time. And one of the answers that Jesus gives them is that there are those who are standing here who will not taste death until the kingdom of God comes with power. And then both narratives say 6 days later, and again, that's just sort of a euphemism for, you know, at another time, Jesus goes up on the mountain. He takes Peter, he takes James, he takes John. And while he's up there, he prays, and there's what's called transfiguration. And again, the image that I have in my mind is just this amazing illumination process that happens for him. And the description of what the disciples see is that they see Moses and Elijah there with Jesus. And thinking for a moment of what those characters represent out of the Jewish tradition. Moses was the one who led the Israelites out of bondage and led them towards the promised land. So what Moses represents is breaking free and overcoming and moving in a new direction. Elijah is considered the prophet extraordinaire of the Hebrew tradition. And he brought that presence and power of God into amazing expression in life. And so Jesus had just said that there are those that are going to be here that are not going to taste death until they experience the kingdom of God coming with power. And so what does he do? He connects with the images that are there. It's not about Moses and Elijah literally being there, but the consciousness that they represent being present and active to him, that we can break through whatever appearances there are, and we can bring that power of God into expression. Don't you want that awareness with you in every moment and every experience of your life? And so Jesus connected with that consciously so he could bring it back. And the next experience that is in both the narratives, as they come down from the mountain, a man has brought his son to the other disciples to heal, and they can't do it. And Jesus heals them. But what he says to the man is, your faith has made him well. And so it's that experience of saying, here it is. Here's that kingdom of God coming forth in power, and it's showing up in everyone and everything. So that's what we want to find, so that we don't exclude others from that experience and say, oh, well, you know, she's got a real bad consciousness, so I don't think she's going to get over her disease. Well, no, you want to see that kingdom of God coming forth in power, and you want to be witness to that. And so we stand with, what's the truth that I need to know? What's the truth that I'm missing as I'm feeling lost in this experience? God, show me. Show me what it is. And so we have these two words of ask and imagine. Ask for that revelation. Ask for that realization. Ask for that anointing of spirit. And then imagine the possibilities. Imagine that spirit of God working through you. Not imagine how great you are, but imagine that power of God working through you to bring forth greater things. That's what I want to know. That's what I want to experience in my life. And so we open ourselves to that. And so whatever our pain has been, whatever our fear has been, we don't need to worry about that. And sometimes, you know, we think, oh, I wish they would change. And I said, if you can't, with your own will, change your own mind sometimes, how can you change somebody else? You know, bless them and see that presence and power of God in them. Know the truth for them. Believe in that for them. Because your belief can be transformative for others as well. So what's the truth that you have found? What's the truth you still need to find? And then the last question I have for you today to open up to is, what is the truth you need to own? To say, yes, this is just what Jesus taught. This isn't just what Blair says. He says the same thing every week anyways, you know. This is what I own. This is what I know. I'm connected. The presence of God is here with me. I am present in God. God is present in me. The kingdom is being revealed through my thoughts, through my words, through my actions, through my interactions with others. That's the truth that we have for each other in every moment. God is always revealing what we need to know. Nothing is lost in spirit. So, what is it in your life that you've lost, that you need to bless and release and ask for something greater? What is it that's in your life right now that needs to get lost, that needs to be set aside, that needs to be released so that you can move on again to that greater good that God has for you? What's the truth that you already know, that's already blessed you, that's already worked in your life before? Remember that. Remind yourself of that. And what's the truth you still need to hold on to and own to be that truth of God? To be present as that expression of the divine. As you explore those questions, as you open yourself, amazing things will happen. That presence and power of God will work through you in your life. When Meredith and I had sold our previous house and all the stuff had been moved out and we were just doing the final sort of cleanup for the family that had bought the house was going to be moving in, the last part of it, I was sweeping out the garage. And Meredith was waiting for me to finish, and I was just sweeping. Somebody came by and said, oh, we need to do this right away. So I said, well, what do we do? And Meredith said, I'll finish sweeping. So I left, and so she finished sweeping the garage. And as she was sweeping the garage, she found an earring that she had lost 2 years before. Now, I know that if I had continued sweeping, I probably would not have seen it because I wasn't looking for it. And I don't know that she was consciously looking for it, but I think there was a part of her that was saying, because she thought she'd lost it in the front yard. There was a part of saying, oh, we're leaving this house, I'm never going to find that earring, you know. So it was on her mind. And as she's sweeping, she looks down, and there it is. Did you wear them today?
Yes, I did.
I asked her to wear them, so she did, yeah. So we have evidence. And again, there's light. There's light for us. And as we sweep what doesn't need to be there, what needs to get lost, then what's revealed is what is already there, that presence of God. That's what the parable of Jesus tells us. So bring that light of God to your life. Sweep out what you don't need, and you'll find those blessings that are there. There's a story in Exodus 14. Moses has brought the Israelites out of Egypt, and they're standing on the shore at the edge of the Red Sea. It's in their way to get to where they want to go. And as they're standing on the shore, probably mumbling, because there's a lot of murmuring. It's in the Bible, you know, murmur, murmur. They turn around, and here comes the Egyptian army chasing them down. And here's how much faith they had in Moses. What they said to him, "Is it because there were not enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out to the desert to die?" And he says, basically, it's not written this way in the translation, basically, he says, "All right, God, what do we do now?" But he was open to God. And then all of a sudden, the words come through him. He doesn't even hear an answer. He just knows. And he says to the people, "Stand still." One of the translations says, "Stand by." "Stand still. Don't be afraid, and see the deliverance that God will bring." Stand in that presence of God. Know that's where you are in every moment of your life. The fear will come, just, you know, sweep it away. And know, and look, and believe, and live from that blessing of God. You will feel lost sometimes, but remember to find that presence. And in that presence, find everything that you need in every moment. Let us pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for that awareness of blessing the things that we've lost and finding ourselves in your peace, in your life, in your light, in your joy, in your abundance. We give thanks that that is our real home. Thank you, God. Amen.